to Third and Long, your inside look at the Canadian Football League. I'm Andy McNamara, and you're listening Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Man, oh man, what a divisional semifinals. Riddled with surprises, folks. Like, that was next level set of games. I'll get you looking back at those, what we learned, and what we should now expect going in to the division finals. It's, you win this, you're on to the big show. You're going to the Grey Cup. Edmonton heads into Hamilton, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff on Sunday, and then Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, banjo bowl for all the marbles. The Blue Bombers and the Rough Riders. There are so many storylines, the quarterbacks, the ups and downs all season. I guess that's true in any CFL season, but it just seems like with the quarterback situations, it's more so this year. And I'm going to talk with one of those quarterbacks who, well, let's face it, this time last season, going into the season, into the summer, did not think he would be in a position where he is to take his team to the Grey Cup. And that's Dane Evans of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I will talk with the pivot from Hamilton and behind the helmet. We'll get to know him a little bit more and just go over. Yeah, like, he was behind Jeremiah Masoli, and that was where he was going to stay. Well, a Masoli injury later, the old next man up. And what impressed me most is that after he got comfortable 2-3 weeks, he started putting up mega numbers. Like, we're not talking game manager and you're just winning it on defense or gadget plays or whatever. No. Like, Dane Evans made this team his own and led Hamilton to 15-3 overall record. 15-3. Unbelievable. So we'll chat with Dane Evans in a little bit in Behind the Helmet. Then before that, we'll chat with managing editor for CFL Digital and Statistics, Jeff Crever. And we'll get into some fantasy football talk as well as betting tips. That was a great segment last week that we started up with Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca. So we'll continue with that. Get you some betting tips, the odds. Check all the different situations out for the divisional finals that are both this Sunday. That'll be with Ben Kramer. And of course, yeah, some DFS fantasy tips as well. It gets, when it comes to fantasy football, just like last week, you got two games, four teams. We all know the big stars. It's how you utilize that extra money. You can go heavy star power, but there's got to be those one, maybe two guys that could win you on contrarian points. So we'll go over some of that with Ben Kramer. But man, like, you look at last week, the Winnipeg game was the shocker. Like, Edmonton winning in Montreal, I thought the Alouettes were going to pull it out. Wow. Like, full credit to the Edmonton defense. You shut down that Montreal attack. Vernon Adams Jr., no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. A disappointing end. The way he inspired, along with Kahari Jones, all that they overcame, I thought they would be able to pull it out. It wasn't. Adams ran one in for a TD, but it just wasn't their day. And you go to the other side, Trevor Harris with an exclamation point saying, yeah, remember me? 421 yards, come on. The old, I guess, rust versus rest. Trevor Harris says, you know what, I'm good resting. One game, 2 months, pops off a 92.3 completion percentage. Like, are you kidding me? And the interception was off of a tip. Like, Harris goes 36 for 39? Insane. So, Montreal, for the Alouettes, it's the end of the season, but at least they got the building blocks. Listen, you made the playoffs. Nobody expected you to do that. At the beginning of the year, Vernon Adams Jr. wasn't even the consensus starter. You had Pipkin. Cutest name in football, right? You had Antonio Pipkin. Now Vernon Adams Jr. has established himself as the guy. And this offseason, the Montreal Alouettes, who I would assume you would sign up Kahari Jones for the long term, with how he and Adams led that team together. Now you can start putting some pieces around. Now you know. There's no surprises. There's no, you know, general manager got fired partway through the year. Head coach quit, fired, resigned, whatever you want to call it, just at the end of the preseason. Now you can actually build. So this Alouettes team, I feel, is going to be just fine. But the Edmonton Eskimos now. Like, you got Gable healthy. And Gable didn't do a whole lot. I guess, you know, Harris is chucking the ball up 39 times. But you got everybody looking healthy. It was really the safety blanket that Trevor Harris loved in Ottawa. Greg Ellingson brought his guy over, right, all year. 125 yards. Ricky Collins, 117. Shaq Cooper had a nice little pop-off as well. 5 for 5. And you have this Edmonton crew that was had the rep of, they win the games they're supposed to, but they can't beat anybody. Well, you went into hostile territory in Montreal, a team feeling it, vibing. You beat them, straight up. You beat them, 37-29. The Winnipeg game in Calgary. Like, you tell me Bo Levi Mitchell is going to throw for under 43% completion and throw 3 interceptions. I would have said, you're a crazy person. Not interested. No. That's what happened. 12 for 28. Just defensively dominant the Bombers. Shut down Bo Levi. And Bagleton. Like, Reggie Bagleton had 24 yards. He had 2 catches. Reggie Bagleton. Bagleton's been a stud. They focused in, shut him down. And that's where Calgary, who it looked like they were, even though they were obviously one-dimensional, without a established running game and just a hodgepodge here and there. And don't get me wrong, I love me some Don Jackson. And our Nate Carries, he averaged 7.9 yards. He's a damn good running back. But they're one-dimensional. They're a throwing team. And that has served them very well over the years. But the Winnipeg Blue Bombers shut him down. And for the Bombers, Zach Collaros' redemption story continues. Let's begin there as I bring in Jeff Crever, managing editor, CFL Digital and Statistics. Jeff, it really is remarkable what Zach Collaros has overcome. Third team this year. Started in Saskatchewan. It was supposed to be his redemption. It was supposed to be, okay, hey, you know what? This is all the injuries are behind him. Well, first game, first quarter, you know, it goes down. Then he gets dealt to Toronto. Then he gets dealt to Winnipeg. And he just, okay, you know what? We'll try him. Beats Calgary in his only start with the Blue Bombers. Then goes in that combo with Chris Streveler, who looks much more comfortable, obviously, in that complimentary role. Like, this would be, like, Jeff, if you have Zach Collaros, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but if he goes all the way and wins this, that's one of the best redemption stories I can remember in some time. That would be unreal.
It really is, and it's unbelievable the way that this story has unfolded, because you talk about a trade that happened, I think it was moments before the deadline. Like, you're talking minutes before the trade deadline, the clock struck, whatever it was, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and all it was uncertainty after. People kind of shrugged and went, well, okay, maybe an insurance policy, maybe a backup. You had Matt Nichols going out for the season. You had Chris Streveler, who was playing okay. He wasn't a disaster. He was playing fine. You didn't get the sense you were going to win a Grey Cup with him, but the injury just opened the door for Zach, and he barged through it. He's been great. And people love big numbers. And he's not going out there and throwing for 300, 400 yards every game, but he's beaten the Calgary Stampeders in back-to-back games. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else can you ask for? And the underlying numbers aren't bad either. He's over 8 yards per attempt. And he just hasn't thrown the ball a whole lot. And I think that works for them, because he's got a skill set a little bit similar to Matt Nichols. And the way that Zach Collaros works in tandem with Chris Streveler, I think it's really tough for opponents to stop. And beating the Stampeders the way they did, I think that proves it. So, yeah, what an unbelievable story this is. And you talked about getting ahead of ourselves. And if he wins a Grey Cup, wow, then imagine the offseason discussion. Because then what do you do if you're the Bombers? And then what do you do if you're Zach Collaros, who's a free agent? There's a draft pick tied to that as well, right? The first round pick that the Argos could get if he ends up resigning. I mean, just so many things.
Yeah. It's endless. And then you couple in with that with Chris Streveler, who can throw it, he can run it. And there's a guy, Andrew Harris, who's pretty good behind him as well. Like, it just makes that offense so unpredictable, and you can go in so many different directions, right?
I will say this. I mean, Zach had some throws that were a little off, and it's to be expected for a quarterback who's barely played since week one. He's still kind of finding himself a bit too, right? But that throw to Darvin Adams was incredible. That was unbelievable. It goes for a 71-yard touchdown, but that ball was in the air 40 yards on a frozen rope, and that beat Trey Roberson, who many consider to be the best corner in the league.
Wow.
And that right there tells you what Jack Caleros is still capable of doing.
Yeah, 100%, and he's just a good dude. I've had a chance to chat with him over the years, and just you root for somebody like that. So that's we'll see what happens after they beat Calgary and go into the frozen tundra of Regina and play the Rough Riders, a banjo bowl like no other, I guess, right? So we'll talk about the West final in a moment. But let's jump back. You were in Montreal a week ago, Jeff. Alouettes, Edmonton, and it was interesting in that you had the, okay, rust versus rest, time-honored discussion and debate, right? Well, Trevor Harris played once in 2 months and was like, yeah, man, I'm good, 400 plus, and just lit up the Alouettes, and they couldn't play catch-up. That was it.
Yeah, Trevor was okay, right? Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
yeah. I mean, I didn't know what to think going into the game because, for one, as you mentioned, yeah, he had only made one start since the last time he was injured, mm-hmm. Back in early September. And the other aspect of it is when those two teams last played in the regular season, the Alouettes were the one team that was able to shut Trevor Harris down.
Yes.
They intercepted him twice. They got him out of that hot streak he had to start the season. So I thought going into the game, maybe the Owls would have something up their sleeve for Trevor Harris, but no, it just wasn't happening. And the Alouettes have had issues all year with getting quarterbacks out of a groove, high completion percentages across the board, and just not able to get a ton of pressure from their defensive front. They were, I believe, the lowest team in the league in sacks, and they just weren't able to disrupt Trevor Harris at all, and that was a really big issue. And Trevor was unbelievable. I mean, he looked like he hasn't had a game off in weeks.
No.
He was just so sharp. Every single throw, the accuracy, the confidence. And you could tell early. You could tell on the first drive. There was a play where he kind of bought himself a little extra time. It was one of those plays where he didn't get the ball out within a second. I think it was a second down play on the opening drive. He bought himself time, rolled out to his right, and just waited for Ricky Collins to separate and beat his guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just threw an absolute strike to him while running, while moving to the side. And that was that kind of set the tone, and that was the kind of day it would be. So I do think the Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to offer a different challenge. But, oh, my goodness, was Trevor Harris good in that game against Montreal?
Well, you say accurate. And when we say accurate, okay, 75%. 92.3,
yeah.
92%+. Like, come on. Right? Like, that's absolutely unreal. He did it all. And you're right. So let's swing over. And the Montreal Alouettes, I said off the top, Jeff, they're going to be fine. Now they have an off season where they know who their quarterback is. I would assume Kahari Jones will be linked to a longer-term contract with how they really were in lockstep, him and Adams. And now you can build this team from here. So I think the Owls are going to be all right. But you look at Hamilton, and they've been waiting, and it's in Hamilton. And the knock against the Eskimos all year was, okay, hey, you can beat the teams you're supposed to, but can you beat the big dogs? They did step one against the Alouettes. Going into Hamilton with that offense, with Dane Evans, who I'll chat with in a little bit, and a pretty darn good defense themselves, this is going to be a slugfest, I think.
I think so. And it is a totally different challenge, like you said, for the Eskimos. They're playing a young Montreal team on the road. That's a little different. A defense that hits hard but has had trouble containing quarterbacks this year. You start blitzing Trevor Harris, and he's going to beat those blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knows what he's doing, and they've got the receivers that can beat those blitzes. The Ticats, you remember them getting burned last year for 6 touchdowns by Trevor Harris? That's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
The Ticats are a different defense right now, and they've got the horses up front to really get in Trevor Harris's face and make him uncomfortable and make him do things they want to do. The Ticats can get to the quarterback without having to blitz, and that's a really big difference between these two teams. I mean, Jagarrett Davis is as good as anybody. I don't care. He's still underrated. And even when people say he's one of the best defensive ends around, I still think he's underrated. and the guys in the middle, they're just unbelievable. Dylan Wynn, he won a Grey Cup with the Argos 2 years ago with Corey Chamberlain and some of the good players there. But Dylan Wynn was a huge part of that
sure.
Nobody talked about. And he's just been incredible this year. Leads the league in sacks for interior linemen. Up beside Ted Laurent there. I mean, what that defensive line can do, it's something that Trevor Harris hasn't seen much. And the Ticats were the one team The Eskimos had a league low 25 sacks. I believe it was 8 sacks the Ticats had against them. Yeah, it was Logan Kilgore, quarterback. I don't see him piling up that many sacks against Trevor Harris, but you make Trevor Harris uncomfortable in his career, and he's not going to be throwing for 92%, no. Let alone 80%. So.
That's going to be a lot of fun. That's Sunday at 1 kickoff. Let's go to the West, and you are going to be in Regina to see the Rough Riders and the Blue Bombers. That's going to just saying that, that's the rivalry is sensational. But Cody Fajardo, and you talk about quarterback stories. Trevor Harris injured, coming back. Dane Evans taking over and being phenomenal with Jeremiah Masoli. The Zach Calero situation we talked about. Well, let's not forget about Cody Fajardo, who was a journeyman afterthought before this year. All the dude does, oh, by the way, he replaced Zach Caleros. All the guy does comes in, and it gets put in the MOP conversation near the end of the year. Like, he has been sensational as well. Like, this is the year of the backup quarterback. So what should we make out of Saskatchewan in this matchup?
To me, with Cody, this isn't just a one-year wonder type deal. And it surprised a lot of people, because, you know, you bounce around as a third-string quarterback, short yardage guy. You're on your third team in as many years. An afterthought to Zach Caleros going into camp. And just it's not just that he's running around and making the odd big play. He's been consistently one of the best passers in the CFL at all levels of the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, going down the field, mid-range passing game, all of those things. He's making a lot of plays with his arm, not just his legs. So I think that's pretty indicative of long-term success for Cody Fajardo in this league, the fact that he's been able to sort of meld all of that together in his game. We're going to see a little bit of gamesmanship this week, I think. Okay. And I think the Riders probably have a better idea of what's going on with Cody Fajardo than they're letting on. You remember last year what happened with Zach Caleros? I don't think there was ever a chance Zach Caleros was going to start that game. They were kind of throwing everybody off the scent a little bit. Mm. You remember that went right up to Saturday. They had him listed. They had Zach listed as the number one quarterback. And then all of a sudden, it's they're going with the backup. I don't know what's going to happen. But you're talking about an injured back. I mean, gosh, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good at all. No. I have a good feeling we could be seeing Isaac Harker out there on Sunday.
Well, that certainly changes the dynamic. And yeah, you're right. It's going to be gamesmanship. And even if Fajardo does play, it doesn't mean he'll finish the game, right?
No. Yeah. Bad back. You're talking about the back. That's one. You're one hit away from being out.
Yeah. In cold condition. And we were talking before you came on. It was. It looks like it's going to be relatively nice for this time of year in Regina, above zero. So, you know, take it. But still, it's cold. So that back tightens up. You get hit the wrong way. Boom, you're gone, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so he'll be a little vulnerable there. And I think that's real. That's really the talk of this week, is whether Cody Fajardo plays or not, because we talked about the kind of success he's had all year. And hey, I think Isaac Harker's interesting. I don't think he's ever looked out of place or overwhelmed. He threw a couple picks in that opener when he was forced into action, but he's a true rookie. He's right out of college. And I thought he looked all right, but what a difference if Cody Fajardo isn't able to go. And I don't know anything. So I'm sitting here like the rest of us, and I have no clue. I'm just completely speculating. But I think it's one of those things that's going to come down to the wire. I don't believe he's had any kind of real practice with them yet where he's throwing the football.
Right. Well, at least he's had the extra time to try to rest up. So we'll track it. We'll wait and see. Jeff, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Andy.
There he goes, Jeff Krever from CFL.ca, managing editor there on the digital and statistics side. We will step aside and talk with one of the great quarterbacks we were discussing, Dane Evans. I go behind the helmet with the Hamilton Tiger Cats pivot after this on Third and Long across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Third and Long, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy McNamara with you, getting ready for the division finals. Next stop after this weekend is the Grey Cup out in Calgary. Edmonton taking on the Ticats in Hamilton. Winnipeg battling the Rough Riders in Saskatchewan. And make sure you follow me on Twitter, at AndyMC81, the show at Third and Long CFL, at 3RD and Long CFL. Had a chance to catch up a little bit earlier with, you want to talk about stories, Jeremiah Masoli goes down to injury. Dane Evans, out of nowhere, puts up phenomenal statistics. You go through 3,754 passing yards, 298 completions, 21 touchdowns to 13 interceptions in the air, and he ran in three as well. Had a chance to catch up a little bit earlier with Dane Evans of the East-winning Hamilton Tiger Cats. Dane, I just went through your stats, and for you, this journey on, you start the year, you think one thing, you're the backup. Jeremiah Masoli has been tremendous over the last few seasons, and you're doing your part as the backup. All of a sudden, you always got to be ready, but you become the guy. And then, after a couple weeks, you get your feet wet, things start to go amazingly well. And really, like, for you, what were your initial expectations when you were to take over? Because I'll tell you, from a national level, lots of people were just thinking, hey, you know what? Ticat season's not going to go so well. And you and that whole locker room proved otherwise.
Yeah. You never want to see a guy go down like that, especially when you're such good friends with him, you know. So initially it was really tough coming in on that Winnipeg game, just emotionally, you know, because I knew how much work Jeremiah had put in the offseason to see it just, you know, go away so fast like that. It sucks just on a personal level. But, you know, football-wise, I just wanted to come in, and my whole goal that first game against Winnipeg was just to get first downs. And I knew if I could just keep getting first downs and keep us on the field that we would find a way to win the game. And that's what we did. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing. We're just really focused on getting first downs and just staying on the field and moving the ball. And then, you know, we'll find ourselves in good situations, make big plays. But really, it's just a whole lot of doing the little things right, adding up to the big thing happening.
And when you look at your game log going back through the starts from that July 26 against Winnipeg, once you hit, did something click week 12? Because from week 12, rest of the year, you only had one game of less than 300 passing yards. It just seems like the offense really took off from there. Now this is your team. They're playing inspired football. And now one win away from the Grey Cup. What clicked for you after you got your feet wet as a starter? Was it coaching? Was it just teammates finding the groove? What happened?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a little bit of everything, honestly. Me and Tommy Condell, our offensive coordinator, we spent a lot of time together, and I think we just started meshing well together around that time of the year. A lot of the receivers I had been with the previous year in Hamilton too, but you know, I wasn't really getting to throw to them much, so our timing started getting better, and started being able to read their body language a little bit better. And you know, I think it was just kind of a culmination of everything. And I think also around that time, our defense really started turning it on as well. Yeah. So we were just playing really fun football, you know, and I don't really think it mattered who was back there. We were going to be clicking and rolling on offense. And it just so happened that it was me, you know, and just, so to answer your question, I believe it's just, you know, a lot of everything going in the same direction.
Dane, how fun is it to play with Brandon Banks? Be honest. Like, this dude is just the next level. Any spot you line him up in, single coverage, double cut, it doesn't matter. Like, people know he's going to get the ball, and he just does it anyway. How cool is it to play with Banks?
It's so awesome. It really is. This is, you know, I was up here for half a year, and then last year was my first full year. So this is really, you know, almost my third year with Speedy. And he's just such a dynamic player. He really is. And I think one thing that just blows my mind even still, and I, you know, I'm the one handing the ball to him, is when we put him in the backfield and let him run with the ball. Because you see a guy that little and that quick, you don't expect him to be able to run as powerful and strong as he is. And my man is a ball player, man. And he is a very strong dude. And it's kind of the cliche saying, but you know, size is just size. Like, it doesn't matter. He's got what it takes inside of him, and he's not going to let anyone tell him otherwise. And you know, when you're in a huddle with that guy and you see that guy, you know, busting it every play, it just inspires the rest of the huddle. And it's so easy to get hyped up whenever he's in the huddle with you. And, you know, he's a baller. Anybody that goes by one name, they're a beast. You know what I mean? And he's Speedy, and he is Speedy.
It's an apt nickname for sure. In conversation with Dane Evans, quarterback for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, getting ready to take on the Edmonton Eskimos. You can find him on Twitter too, at Dane Evans and the number 9. So Dane, you found the Edmonton Eskimos. You beat them twice this year, and this is always the conversation that goes in. It's tough to beat a team more than once, never mind three times. You've faced them twice in relatively short quarters, week 15, and then again in week 17. Trevor Harris is back under center for them. What preparation goes in? Because you have seen them, you know them, they know you. How's the locker room? How are you feeling about this third time against Edmonton at home?
Yeah, it's kind of like what you said. We're not taking them lightly, that's for sure. They played a great game last week, and even our last couple games against them. I know the one at home when we played them, we put up a good amount of points. But you know, for a large part of that game, it was a back and forth game. It wasn't like we just went out there and just ran up and down the field. Mm-hmm. It was a good game. So we know what they can do, and we know what to expect from them. And they have a really good defense that we got to prepare for. And I'll tell you this: it's not like we're out here just thinking we're going to roll a helmet out there and just win a ball game. We know we're going into a fight, and we're ready for it. And it's just something, you know, it's something about playoff football, and we're just really excited for this game. And we're definitely not taking them lightly, especially after what they did last weekend.
No, absolutely. I think it's going to be a great matchup. Very much looking forward to that as the Hamilton Tiger Cats get ready to host the Edmonton Eskimos in the East Finals. All right, Dane, let's get to know you a little bit better. We call this Behind the Helmet, and you've had such a great season, but you know, a lot of people still might not know that much about you, the guy. So you're from Sanger, Texas. You went to Tulsa, and I want to quiz you a little bit first on Texas, the great state of Texas, how much you know.
Oh, man, okay? Put me on the spot.
I know. Hey, it's hard-hitting questions here, brother. That's what we do on third and long.
I love it. Let's see how I do. Let's do it.
I want to know, do you know the official state flower for Texas?
Yeah, it's the bluebonnet.
Boom. One for one, baby. What, you know what? Most people go 0-for. They go 0-for-2, 0-for-3. So that's
all right. Well, I'm already doing good.
You
nailed it here.
How about this? How about the official state animal?
I believe it's the armadillo.
Oh, man. 2-for-2. You know what? We're going to stop while you're ahead. 2-for-2.
There
beautiful.
You go.
Beautiful. 2-for-2. You have the highest completion percentage of this game. And this show's been going on for a number of years. So that is well done, sir. Well done. So for yourself, we see on your Twitter at Dane Evans and the number 9, you got married last April, right? This past
yes,
April?
Sir. Yep. I sure did.
Where did you honeymoon?
We honeymooned in Tulum, Mexico. And, man, it was awesome. It really was. It was, I'm sure every person that just got married will say this, but it was a much needed honeymoon. We planned our own wedding ourselves, so it was very stressful, and towards the end, we were just ready to get it done with, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so it was so nice to just go to Mexico and just enjoy it for a week, especially right before training camp started. It was perfect. I would definitely love to go back.
And who would have known all the way back then that you'd be the man playing in the East Final? If you could go anywhere else, let's say, hey, everything goes well, you're hoisting the Grey Cup, and ownership says, you know what, man, Dane, great job this year, buddy. Pick a spot in the world you want to go. Where would you go?
I've got a couple spots. I've always wanted to go to Japan just to, you know, just check it out. I feel like it'd be a cool spot to go to, but I also would really like to go to Australia too.
That'd be cool.
And just, you know, see what it's all about down there. Watch all those cheesy Netflix shows down there on like the instant hotels and the food down there. So I would definitely love to go check it out, see what it's all about.
Especially on someone else's dime. That's an expensive trip.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's and you go as far away as you can when you're not paying for it, you know?
Absolutely. Now you mentioned food, Dane. What's your celebratory meal? What's your go-to post-game meal?
Lately it has been, this burger spot in Hamilton called Delirious Burger. There's one right by my house on Lock Street, and they also have one by the campus of McMaster, and I think they have one downtown too. But
okay.
Man, it's just a freaking really good burger. Like, it is old school. They throw it on the grill when you order it.
Nice.
They got some fries with it. It's definitely a cheat meal, but it's definitely a reward, you know, victory meal too. So it's a great spot.
Well, you gotta get the protein and calories back up after a big game, right?
Yeah. There you go.
There.
Yeah.
Dane, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, man. Good luck this weekend. And hey, who knows? Maybe you'll be playing for the Grey Cup.
Yep, that's the plan. We got a big one this weekend. We need all the fans there. So I'm excited for it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dane. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
There he goes. Dane Evans, quarterback for the Hamilton Ticats. What a good guy. Didn't know much about him. Nailed the state question. I'm not kidding you, folks. Different variations of the show has been going on since gosh, I think 2010. And I don't think anybody has gotten those type of questions correct when it comes to like their state flower, animal, that type of thing. So Dane Evans, what a journey for him. I'll be honest. I was one of the guys who, and just because we didn't know much about him, it's like, okay, how are you going to replace Jeremiah Masoli? How? He was putting up prolific numbers, and Dane Evans is going to come in, and it kind of now makes a lot of sense when we look back and we thought how weird it was Johnny Manziel couldn't beat out Dane Evans, and now we see why. The guy is a student of the game, he works hard, and he's earned it, and guess what? He's also pretty damn good. All right, we're going to take the break, see if we can be pretty good, maybe great, with our betting tips and our fantasy football advice for the CFL Division Finals. Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca joins me next on Third and Long across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back to wrap up Third and Long Division Finals edition across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara. Make sure you get me on Twitter at AndyMC81, the show at Third and Long CFL, the number 3, the RD and Long CFL. You miss any of the show, make sure you go to the sportsnet.ca CFL page, and we'll pop the links up there on Twitter. I'll also put it on my Instagram at AndyMCSports. Well, let's get to it, folks. Two games. We'll go over the fantasy football implications, tips, advice, as well as some betting scenarios and what might be some smart plays for you to lay some coin down on. There's only one guy I bring in for this. He's my guy from Daily Roto and CFL.ca. It is Ben Kramer. Ben, let's begin with the West Final. Big question mark when it comes to fantasy, when it comes to the betting line, is the health of Cody Fajardo's back. And the question is, if he plays, now it looks like he intends to, he's had a couple weeks off. The problem becomes, even if he does play, is he limited? And then you're just one hit away from a tweak back to seeing Isaac Harker in there.
And even if he's limited, it really would hurt his upside significantly, because a lot of what he does fantasy-wise is with his legs. If he's got a lower back injury that limits some of his mobility and his explosiveness, if you take away half his carries just because he's trying to protect the injury, all of a sudden he becomes a lot more mediocre play from fantasy-wise. As the Riders just haven't been a big passing touchdown team this year. Most of it has been through his feet on the ground in the red zone. So if he's limited in any way, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for him to be able to pay off that salary in the $10,000 range.
Yeah, if you're headed to DraftKings, he's the top money quarterback, $10,200 DK salary. What that does as well is, and it's been tricky for most of the year to really go outside of the quarterback when it comes to extra fantasy usage with the Rough Riders. Boy, like, and only four teams here, Ben. It's almost, I kind of almost want to totally stay away from Saskatchewan, but that cuts down a quarter of the team's options here.
Yeah, it's tough to throw out teams altogether, but the Rough Riders, I think, probably are going to have some options. The issue is going to be that most of them are overpriced, because each of them have had significantly explosive games this year that bumps their mean projections up quite a bit, despite the fact that their median projections would be significant lower. So you have William Powell, who's had multiple games with three touchdowns this season, but he's also got about 10 games in single-digit fantasy points. You've got Shaq Evans, who has at least four games over 30 points, I believe, and he's also got about a half dozen in single digits. They are pretty much a boom or bust roster, depending on who gets the touchdowns on a given week, because it's rare that they're spread out evenly. Right. The targets are, but the scoring opportunities rarely are. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Powell or Evans or Kyron Moore have an exceptionally big game, given that Winnipeg's given up the most completions of 30-plus yards this season, despite their overall average per attempt being fairly low. There's going to be somebody there who probably scores some touchdowns. It's just a matter of, it's pretty difficult to predict at this point who it's going to be.
Yeah, you kind of guess who. Can I interest you in a Marcus Thigpen? Last 2 weeks, double digits, just shy of 20 fantasy points in week 21. Is that somebody at $5,100 that, you know, we talk about maybe contrarian points, a little bit of a flyer? Is that worth a shot?
I think if I had 150 entries in a full kind of MME contest, I would have a few Big Ten lineups.
Okay.
But given the biggest contest on DraftKings is between 7 and 20 lineups, I'm probably not going there. There's other options in that 5K range, like the Hamilton running backs, whether it winds up being Cameron Marshall or it winds up being Tyrell Sutton, that are all priced similarly just below 6,000, mm-hmm. that are going to have a lot safer floor to work from depending on who starts that game, that probably have a similar ceiling as well. So I'd probably stick with one of those Hamilton backs if you're looking for a cheaper play, as opposed to somebody like Thigpen, whose playing time is pretty erratic, and
right.
he gets a little bit of special teams work. But unless he scores a touchdown, it's probably a disappointing day.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's look at this game line-wise. Saskatchewan, four-point favorite. It's pretty much almost a pick 'em when it comes to if you think usually a home team gets about three. So that's almost a pick 'em. It's a just from an entertainment standpoint, this rivalry is going to be amazing. So I can't wait to actually watch this. But a four-point favorite for the Rough Riders at home. Winnipeg, spoke about it earlier in the show. You have the Zach Caleros, Chris Streveler combo. Oh, yeah, there's Andrew Harris back there, too. This is a shifty, dynamic offense that can go in a whole bunch of different directions and tough to defend. What are you liking as far as the outcome to this game? I got to think with the Fajardo question mark, I'll take the dog in Winnipeg. But if Fajardo was 100%, I would go with the Rough Riders. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling I need to wait and see what's going on
yeah.
with Fajardo. But I think that's the feeling of pretty much everybody in Saskatchewan right now. I would think that if he plays, then yeah, the Riders are probably significant favorites. But Fajardo himself has had one kind of masterpiece and one kind of mm-hmm. total disaster against Winnipeg this season already. One over 300 yards and multiple touchdowns, and one in 100 yards and a couple interceptions. So he's going to be what he's going to be, and hopefully he's healthy. But if not, then I think, yeah, the Bombers become a pretty heavy option.
So when you look at the quarterback, we know Caleros is going to start, but Streveler still is going to be a significant piece. Is there any way you're starting Chris Streveler at the quarterback spot in your DraftKings fantasy lineup?
I think the risk is way too high. They're
yeah.
both priced right around 9,000. You have no idea what the workload is going to be.
No,
if you want to go completely, you only live once, and throw out one lineup with Streveler there, you know what? Go ahead and burn your money. But I think the risk is really high that you might not get any scoring from them other than a couple of yard scampers. So I probably wouldn't go with either. If they were priced more in that $6,000 range, like most backups are, then that becomes something that's a little bit of a consideration. But priced like full-time starters, it's difficult to play halftime players.
So if you're looking at just, you know, you are gambling, you're just throwing whatever out there, you should go with a Streveler Thigpen stack, right?
That would be a contrarian option, most certainly.
Yes. Watch that be the one that wins you a contest there. Okay.
It's 2019. That's the way it's gone.
Let's go, baby. What are you feeling about sticking with Winnipeg here? Andrew Harris, obviously, and we advised against this last week for playing him at that price tag, went for only 8.7 fantasy points on the DraftKings contest and hasn't hit above 13 since week 18, and even before that has been up and down really since coming back from that suspension. He's $9,800. We know what he can do. How are you feeling about Harrison there? Are you going in a different direction at running back?
Yeah, strangely enough, post-suspension Andrew Harris has been kind of mediocre.
Just saying.
That, other than the two Montreal games, which were the worst rush defense in the league, quite clearly where he had really explosive games, he's averaged only 4.5 yards a carry in the other games post-suspension. And pre-suspension, he was well over 6 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
So people can read into that what you will, but certainly he's not a running back worth $10,000 right now on DraftKings. He projects reasonably well just because his season-long numbers keep the numbers up there. But realistically, he's probably better priced more as around an $8,000 back that you're hoping to get 16, 17 points out of,
right,
as opposed to a 10K back where you're looking for a 30-point ceiling game. So if folks are looking for other options, the difficult thing this week is outside of the Hamilton backs, the other backs are already dreadfully overpriced as well. Whether it's William Powell in the timeshare with Marcus Thigpen priced almost 10K, whether it's C.J. Gable and his multi-touchdown game last week that came out of nowhere. But he's sharing time with Shaq Cooper now as well, priced over 9. Really, the Hamilton running backs in that 5K spot, depending on who starts, are the only really reasonably priced option this week. And the rest of them, you're hoping for that 2-3 touchdown game to happen. Otherwise, it's going to be a terrible value.
Right, right. Well, let's go to that East End conversation with Ben Kramer from Daily Roto and CFL.ca with all your fantasy sports tips and tricks there on the website. We go to Hamilton. Edmonton coming to town. 4.5-point favorites are the Ticats. So similar situation with the road favorites. Trevor Harris just ballooning for over 400 passing yards. I don't think that Hamilton defense will allow that. Dane Evans, who we heard from earlier on the show, rocking in that Hamilton offense. What are you expecting out of this? I got to feel that the Ticats at home are going to take this one. Although, you know, the way Trevor Harris disproved the rust factor and just exploded, I wouldn't be surprised either way. But I think I'll take Hamilton with the points.
Yeah, I think that that's a pretty safe bet at this point in time. The Edmonton defense is solid in terms of their allowed plays. They gave up huge starts to Hamilton in both of their games this season, where Hamilton came out and had nearly 300 passing yards in the first half in both contests. But they really got them under control and almost shut them down completely in the second half of both of those games. And it's good to remember that it was Logan Kilgore under center for Edmonton in both those contests as well.
Right.
And for as much as people wonder about how much difference a quarterback makes, Travis Harris is one of the best quarterbacks in this league. And Logan Kilgore is frankly one of the worst ones that's got a starting spot this year. So the opportunity to be able to have Harris under center and have a little bit more even game plan for Edmonton should make a difference. I expect it to be pretty close. But, yeah, I'd give the edge to Hamilton nonetheless. They really haven't lost to too many teams at all, regardless of who they've been playing. So I think them as a home favorite, you have to like them at a pretty reasonable margin.
Exactly. And, Ben, let's finish off on this. A couple wide receiver or flex options you're liking for your DraftKings lamp to pop in there.
Yeah, we'll have to see where things shake out as far as depth starts go. I think that Rashid Bailey is still a relatively cheap option at 4,900, but there really isn't a whole lot of cheap value plays at wide receiver this week. If people are looking for somebody cheap to slot in as a flex, Jamil Smith from Edmonton is priced out as a running back at, I believe, 2,900. He's doing the full return duty for Edmonton and had about 9 points this last week. So that's a pretty good value that you can build around and lets you fit in some of the studs like Brandon Banks or Greg Ellingson, who's still a little bit underpriced himself, that you can build around those ones rather than trying to find some of those mid-tier receivers that are probably have a whole lot of bust factor written on them.
I'm with you, buddy. Well, hey, this is going to be a lot of fun this weekend. People can check out your great work on Twitter at Benjamin and on CFL.ca. Listen, dude, we'll talk next week when it's Grey Cup time. Cannot wait. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great talk, Andy.
All right, there he is, Ben Kramer, Daily Roto, CFL.ca on Twitter, at Benjamin. That will do it, people. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, at AndyMC81, and the show at Third and Long CFL, the number 3, RD and Long CFL. If you missed any of the show, we'll post the links there, as well as on my Instagram, at AndyMC Sports. All right, folks, enjoy the games. It's going to be great. Next stop, Calgary and the Grey Cup. You've been listening to Third and Long across the Sportsnet Radio Network.